Let me, I will say more, remind me later today to say more about some training of spiritually oriented therapists that I'm beginning to do around the country and some programs in that. Remind me to make some announcements about that. But let's jump in here. What I'd like to do is to spend the morning going rapidly through a yes, excuse me. They're up here. Everyone should have one of each of these if you haven't gotten them. And we're going to cover a lot of territory. And what we're going to try to do is to do the mapping, the theoretical and conceptual mapping, drawing upon Jung and trying to give it a little update through my recent work, and dialogue about the Jung's frame and how it's still centrally relevant to the things we face as persons and families and a world. And then this afternoon, I want us to come back and really engage in discussing your own experience to the extent that you can come up with a hypothetical person. So-and-so is experiencing such-and-such. Well, what would this possibly mean? And we will engage together on that sort of thing, because I'd like to move from the theoretical and the mapping, getting us a kind of an intellectual and conceptual geography of what's really going on, and then do some experiential sharing and reflection and working on trying to get more of a feel for applying this kind of perspective actually in one's personal life, and also when you're working with someone, whether it's teenagers or whether it's clients or college students or nuns, because you will see as we go that the challenge we share really integrates all. We're really all in the same boat with regard to what's going on. The title you had in that brochure, it does get at what I wanted to talk about, but it's different from what I turned in. And what you need to know is that this session today is part of an ongoing series, and so this is in a way we can treat it as freestanding. But you need to realize that this is a part of a fabric of a lot of work that I've been doing for quite a few years, and it's all available through the audio tape lectures and my books. But I have been working for some time and trying to do two things. One, to update Jung's scientific integrative psychoanalysis, because I really do believe it is the point of view in terms of psychoanalytic science, the paradigm which offers the best chance for us to have an adequate human science of the psyche, interdisciplinarily sensitive. In any case, the other thing that I've been doing is that over the course of the years of my work, I've come to the realization, which I have stated in a number of my books, that when the human beings decided they did not need to practice a participation in their own mythic imagination, and when they got the idea that you would be superior intellectually, or that you'd be superior as a human being if you did not engage in any kind of spiritual discipline or ritual practice in the history of the planet, what happened, we're going to understand, we're going to try to understand this morning what happened. There are great forces in the psyche of human beings. So what we're going to do is just talk about what I call Jung's Copernic illusion in psychology. Pre-Jungian views of the psyche in modern psychology have tended to be based in a kind of an enlightenment view of the human. They have depreciated all kinds of mythic and symbolic discourse and ritual practice as superstition. When I was a young scholar and a young therapist, they were teaching us that all religious practice and all is crazy making, and they were teaching us that all ritual practice was obsessional. That is, there was a Freudian paradigm in interpretation of all these processes, which was based on a rather Enlightenment view of the psyche. So that the unconscious was really viewed as solely archaic. The theories that were sophisticated enough to have a view of the unconscious viewed it as solely archaic and related to that superstitious pre-modern stuff. And so the attempts were made to understand the human psyche in terms of its being a kind of a machine. Kind of a machine model of the psyche began to emerge. There's an old book that tells the story of this. It's a book that's probably not still in print, but you could probably get it through Amazon. It's a book by Floyd Matson, M-A-T-S-O-N, called The Broken Image. And it tells the story about the increasing tendency to view human beings as sort of machines. And if they are functioning okay, they are well-oiled machines. And if they start to have dysfunction, they are sort of broken machines. This has been an increasing development, and one that continues in epidemic form today. I mean, the tendency to look at human beings as merely biochemical machines and to view them as nothing but that. And anyone who has a sense of any kind of transcendent meaning or any kind of sense of the meaningfulness of consciousness, that person is viewed as rather obscurantist and probably akin to those pre-18th century superstitious people. There you go. And so it's important for you just to get a sense, a historical, for those of you who are historians know this, but those who have not had the privilege of studying much history may not be aware of the incredible historical events that have led to a decline in appreciation of the importance of the spiritual dimension of human life.